Will you please turn to 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, having this ministry, as we have had mercy shown us, we faint not. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, having been created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has before prepared that we shall walk in them. And finally, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll read from verse 10. Through verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. According to the grace of God, which has been given to me as a wise architect, I have laid a foundation, but another builds upon it. But let each see how he builds upon it. For other foundation can no man lay besides that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, grass, straw, the work of each shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it is revealed in fire. And the fire shall try the work of each what it is. If the work of anyone which he has built upon the foundation shall abide, he shall receive a reward. If the work of anyone shall be consumed, he shall suffer loss. But he shall be saved, but so as through the fire. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, our hearts are ever thankful for what thou hast done for us. We do pray that the great love that thou hast loved us will constrain each and every one of us, that we may no longer live for ourselves, but only for thee. No longer live by ourselves, but only by thee. And we also pray, Lord, as long as we are on this world, that we may serve thy purpose, that our days on earth may count before thee, when we shall all stand at thy judgment seat. Lord, that we may not be put to shame, but by thy grace we may please thy heart. We commit this time into your hand, and look to thy Spirit to illumine thy word to us. Make thy word living and operative, that thou mayst be glorified. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, if you still remember, before we left for the Far East at the end of last year, we were fellowshipping on this matter of New Covenant living. We mentioned at that time that only one kind of living is Christian living. And that kind of living is New Covenant living. By that, it simply means for me to live is Christ. If it is we ourselves who are living, you cannot accept it as Christian living, because it doesn't count before God. Only one kind of living is Christian living. Daily, we live not by ourselves, no matter how good we are, but only by our Lord Jesus Christ, His life alone. This is the kind of Christian living that God will accept. Our days on earth, whether they will be counted before God or not, depends upon this. If today I live by the life of Christ, it will be counted. If I'm living by myself before God, it is not counted. And that's the reason why you find Moses in Psalm 90 verse 12. He mentions, Lord, teach me how to number our days. That may be acceptable to thee. So, dear brothers and sisters, as we are drawing close to the end of this age, I think it is important for us to make every day count. And the only way to have our days count is to live not by ourselves, but by the life of Christ within us. This is New Covenant living. If the Lord's will, beginning this morning, we would like to continue this by sharing together our New Covenant ministry. We find the Apostle Paul, he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, he said, having this ministry. And even though Paul's ministry is apostolic, not everyone's ministry is apostolic. And yet, we are all called to serve. So we may minister in different ways, but the principles behind our ministry or our service is the same. You remember when God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt? He sent Moses to Pharaoh and said to Pharaoh, let my people go that they may serve me. In other words, even though God loved the children of Israel, He was concerned with their situation. He heard their cry. He wanted to deliver them and set them free. But the only reason why God set his people free is they may serve him. It is not God's will that we be saved, that we may serve ourselves, or any other purpose. The only reason why God saves us is that we may serve him. As a matter of fact, when God created man, that is the only reason why he did. He didn't create a man that man may enjoy themselves, have a good time. Even though God does want man to have a good time, because he loves us. But this is not God's purpose in creating man. He created man with a reason. The Bible tells us that he created man according to his own image. Now that is a tremendous thing. God created the heavens and the earth and all the things upon the heaven and earth. But he never created anything according to his own image. That's a tremendous thing. Why did God create a man in his own image? If it is not to serve his purpose. Other than that, it's not worth it. We are created in God's image. Why? Because he wants us to serve his purpose. Even though the whole creation can serve his purpose to a certain extent, but they cannot serve God's purpose to his fullest extent. So he created us in his own image. True, after he created man, he put them in the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Pleasure, to enjoy life. That's very true. But he did not want man to be in the garden just enjoying himself, have a good time. That's all. Because to him that is too low. It is not as glorious as he wanted. So you remember when God put man in the Garden of Eden? He wants man to enjoy all the fruit trees. And yet, on the other hand, he does commission man to do something. Not only to till the ground, but to guard the garden. Now, unfortunately, man failed. Man did not guard the garden. And because of that, Satan came in like a serpent and tempted man, and man fell. But brothers and sisters, God's purpose, once he has set his mind, he will never give in nor give up. Man may fail and always fail, but God never fails. So this is the reason why we are saved. You know, brothers and sisters, so far as I can recall, my own experience, when I was saved, it is all for myself. I never think of what God wants of me. I only think of what I want. I want of God. Because I do not want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I want to have my sins forgiven. I want to be saved so that my conscience will not bother me all the time. It is for myself. But brothers and sisters, once you are saved, you are supposed to be delivered from your selfishness, from your self-centeredness, because the very life that has been given to you is the life of God. It is Christ. And with that life, we ought to be changed. We ought to see that we are not here for ourselves. We are here for God, for His purpose. The very life that we have received, Christ Jesus in us, is not selfish. It is all towards the Father. How He loved the Father, how He obeyed the Father, how He completed the work that the Father has sent Him. Never for Himself. And this very life has been given to us. And we are supposed to live by that life. And if we do, then we will serve God's purpose. So you find in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, it says, we are God's workmanship. God works upon us. We are the product of His working. He is working upon us. Now why? Because He is preparing us for the good works. And the good works is nothing but what He purposed to do, purposed to have. So, brothers and sisters, in a sense, and it's very true, everyone who is saved, everyone who is a child of God, no longer lives for himself or herself. If you are still living for yourself, then one day you will find how you have failed God's purpose of saving you. And at the same time, everyone who is saved is supposed to serve, to minister. Now, I wonder how many of us here, when you come together, you have even an idea of serving. Do you come here just to enjoy, to receive? Do you say, I cannot do anything, what can I do? I'm only a child, so all I do is to receive. That's the reason why I'm coming. I'm coming to hear something that pleases me. I'm coming to have my needs met. And if I cannot get it, I go somewhere else just to find my supply. Are we as selfish as before we were saved? Do you ever think of you are being saved and God has gathered like-minded people together in order that together we may better serve the purpose of God? What is the purpose of our gathering? May we be delivered from selfish purpose. May we see that the reason why God has gathered us together is for a purpose, for doing a work, for fulfilling God's work. God has been working ever since time begins. And when our Lord Jesus was on earth, you know that he was diligently working. When you read the gospel according to Mark, there is one word that repeats again and again and again, and that is immediately. Our Lord did things immediately. Immediately he went there. Immediately he did this. Immediately he did that. He is so diligent working. And one day in John chapter 5, you remember how he went to the pool of Bethesda? Many sick people were lying there because there was a tradition. When the water was moved by the angel, the first one that got in would be healed. So all these sick people, the lame, the infirm, the blind, all kinds of sick people were there, waiting for the water to move and to be the first to jump in. And our Lord Jesus visited that place. He saw a man, an infirm person of 38 years. He was there. He couldn't move. He needed other people to help him to move. But he was hoping to be the first one to get there, but he never did. But he was still there, hoping. And the Lord Jesus said, "Do you want to be healed?" And he said, "No, help me to put me first. I'm always late." I do not know how long he has been lying there. But the Lord said, "Rise up, take up your couch, and go." And on his word, that infirm man of 38 years got up, took up his coach, and left. And it was on the Sabbath. So he was challenged by people. Sabbath, you couldn't do any work. And to take your couch, and that's work. You shouldn't do that. But he said, "The one told me, heal me. He told me to do that." They said, "Who is he?" He said, "I don't know, because that man has left." So finally, you find our Lord Jesus found him in the temple. Thank God he began to worship God now. And the Lord found him in the temple. And he said, "Sin no more." And the Jewish people they oppose the Lord. Because they, you violated Sabbath. And you know what the Lord said? In chapter 5, verse 17, he said, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." There is a work that God the Father has been doing. And the Lord said, "That's the very work I'm doing now." Now, of course, our Lord Jesus did many works. He preached. He healed. He visited. He comforted. He did many, many things. As we find that if all the things that he had done during those few years, the world cannot contain it. But of all the works that our Lord Jesus has done, of all the works that God has been doing, there is only one work. There is only one work that God has been doing. And there is only one work that our Lord Jesus has been doing. You remember in John chapter 6, after he fed 5,000 people, they wanted to make him king. And he said, "Work not for the things that perishes, but the things that are not perishable. Work for it." And they said, "What are the works of God that we are supposed to do?" To them it's always plural. And the answer of the Lord is always singular. This is the work of God, to believe on him whom he has sent. And ye shall receive eternal life. In other words, God has only one work to do. And that's the work our Lord Jesus is doing on earth. Now, what is that one work? That is that one work that we are supposed to be engaged in, every one of us. What is that work? Our Lord Jesus did not reveal what that work was until he was rejected by the Jews. He retreated to the border of Caesarea Philippi. That's a Gentile city. And then you remember how he asked his disciples a question. "Whom do the word said that I, the Son of Man, is?" And of course they gave him all the glorious report. Our Lord was not satisfied. So he said, "Whom do you think that I am? You have been with me for 3 years, day and night. You should know me better." And thank God, Simon Peter, under inspiration, he said, "You are the Christ, the sent one of God, to do a special work, and you are the Son of God." So far as your person is concerned, you are the Son of God. So far as your work is concerned, you are the Christ, the sent one of God. And you know what our Lord Jesus said? "Simon, by Jonah, you are blessed. Because this is not something any human being can tell you. It is only revealed by my Father who is in the heavens." And then he said in Matthew 16:18, "Thou art Peter. I will build my church upon this rock, and Hades' gates shall not prevail against it." That's it. That is the work that the Father has been doing since creation. That is the work that our Lord Jesus has been doing in his incarnation. He is building his church, the house of God, habitation for God and man. That is what he is doing. I will build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. In other words, it shall be built. Brothers and sisters, so we need to know what is the work that God has been doing since time began. What is the work that our Lord Jesus diligently engaging while he was on earth? And what is the work that the Holy Spirit is doing today? It is the work of building his church. Brothers, sisters, our job is more than building our houses. Our supreme job, overall job, is building the Church of Christ. This is what our Lord Jesus is doing. Even in heaven. And this is what he calls each and every one of us to be engaged in. May I ask, after you are saved, are you engaged in this work? Are you engaged in the building of the church, the house of God, the body of Christ? Are you just passively receiving and never fulfilling? Murmuring all the time because you're not satisfied. Where are you? To me, I feel it is urgent because the days are short. One day, brothers and sisters, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And at that time, our work will all be judged. So you find the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He said, he is like a wise architect. But actually the word there is not architect. The word there is foreman. The architect is Christ. He is just a foreman, doing according to what the architect had designed. But as a foreman, he has been faithful. He has faithfully laid a foundation. And the foundation is none other but Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. And he said, all of us, we who are saved, we are all called to labor in building this house. The foundation has already been laid. We cannot lay any other foundation. We are building upon that foundation. And we are the workers, the laborers, co-workers, working under our Lord Jesus, under the Holy Spirit. And we are working together upon it. Now, it is not just a matter of working or serving or ministry. Today we may find the difference between secular and sacred. But in the sight of God, there is no such thing as such division. Because 24 hours, our whole life is sacred to God. And whatever we are engaged in is sacred. We are all building. Whether you're conscious of it or not, it doesn't matter. Every day we live, every hour we live, everything we do is building. Either building the house of God or building the Tower of Babel. The house of God is for God to dwell. The Tower of Babel for man to spread their fame. Either way, we are building. And when we are supposed to be building the house of God, there are two different kinds of building. So in other words, it is not just service. You think as long as I serve God, as long as I'm doing church work, as long as I am doing something connected with Christianity, I'm serving God. Brothers and sisters, not necessarily. Because when we are serving, we serve with two different kinds of materials. As a matter of fact, we are the materials. What we put in will reveal what kind of ministry we are given to God. So you find in the scripture there are two kinds of service. Two kinds of ministry. Remember, outwardly it is all serving God. But in the sight of God, there are two different kinds of ministry. One kind we call it Old Covenant ministry. The other kind, we call it New Covenant ministry. So one day our ministry will be weighed before the judgment seat of Christ. Is it Old Covenant ministry or is it New Covenant ministry? Now what's the difference? Well, the difference is here. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he said, you can build into it gold, silver, and precious stone. That's one kind. Or you can build into it wood, grass, stubble, hay. That's another kind of materials you are using. And where do you get the material? You are the material. And that's what the Bible said, we are His workmanship. God is working in our lives. He is continually to work Christ into our life. And if we allowed him to be wrought into our very being, his character becomes our character. We are really growing in him. Then the material we are putting into the building will be of him. So that is gold, silver, or precious stone. Now, gold in the scripture always represents the nature of God. God is like gold. Why? Because it is not only bright, brilliant, glorious, unchangeable, weighty, noble. That represents the nature of God. He is unchangeable, incorruptible, unfading, everlasting. That is God. So when Daniel saw one that is the Son of God, he was clothed with gold. Wonderful. So gold in the scripture stands for the nature of God. When God's nature is incorporated into us, we begin to lose our old sinful Adamic nature and begin to put on the divine, glorious nature of God. Silver in the scripture always represents redemption, because you remember in Numbers chapter 3, when God numbered the children of Israel, all the firstborn from 1 month old, they belonged to God. And he numbered all the Levites from 1 month on. And they find a difference of 273. And these 273 persons has to be redeemed. And each one have to pay 5 shekels as a redemption money. So silver in the scripture represents the redemptive work of Christ. Brothers and sisters, we need to have the nature of God incorporated into us. He is generous. We are stingy. He is loving. We are jealous. All of his virtues need to be incorporated into our lives. And it is through the redemptive work of our Lord Jesus. And unless we receive him, his redemptive finished work on the cross, we are undone. That's silver. And precious stone represents the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit is so patient. Just like a precious stone is made through pressure, darkness, long days, years. And under all these, precious stones are produced. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. How he worked long, with long suffering for us. I always thank God for his long suffering. If it's not of that, where would we be? We are so stubborn, so rebellious by nature. So, brothers and sisters, how we need God's workmanship in us. Do we allow God to work in us continuously, just as He has saved us in the beginning? Isn't that ironical? We allow God to work in us to get us saved, but after we are saved, we say goodbye. Now it's our turn. Are we still in the hand of God? Are we still allow the Spirit of God to touch our conscience, soften us? Are we still denying ourselves, take up our cross, and follow the Lord, or thinking that it is too difficult? Brothers and sisters, where are we? Or we can work with wood. Wood in the scripture always represent man, human being. A tree is like a man. Grass is the glory of man. Hay is the work of man, because man used hay to make brick, to build the Tower of Babel. Brothers and sisters, to God, the source is extremely important. He does not measure a work by its volume. He measures work by quality, by its source. I often think one day, when we shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ, there will be a great surprise. Many think that they will receive reward, shall be reprimanded. And many who are neglected and are think as nothing will be greatly rewarded. If we just live for today, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. If we live for eternity, do you think that it is time for us to learn to number our days? The Bible tells us very clearly, one day, all who are in the family of God will be gathered up in the air. A family gathering. It is true. We who are saved will not be unsaved. But brothers and sisters, even though by the grace of God we will not be at the great white throne, which is a judgment of eternal death and eternal life, because Christ has suffered for us. But this doesn't mean that we may not be judged. There will be a family judgment to come. We shall all be gathered together as a family before Christ. And there, fire will appear. God is a consuming fire. In other words, God would measure us with Himself. do you measure us with Christ? How much do we measure up to Christ? How much is still ourselves? Not only in our life, but in our service. And if it measures up, thank God. Even though it is grace, yet it will be rewarded. That's how good God is. And if it doesn't measure up, our whole life, so-called Christian life, Christian service, will all be burned up. But thank God, what He has done in saving us cannot be undone. But what a loss. So brothers and sisters, I do tremble for myself and for my brothers and sisters. May we be serious. This is not a light matter. You can treat it lightly. I beg you, be serious. The days are short. This is time for us to wake up. So, dear brothers and sisters, this morning is just an introduction. We would like to know what is New Covenant Ministry and how can we get into it. I think this is extremely important for us as we are living in the last days. So may I beg you, brothers and sisters, to consider this seriously. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, teach us how to live daily before Thy judgment seat, that we may acquire a wise heart. Bless Thy people. Encourage us. Strengthen us. Deliver us. We ask in Thy name. Amen.